This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. In Kirsty Sandy's new collection of essays, She Lived and the Other Girls Died, there are stories of family and work, of Sandy's search for her own place, and of the people she met along the way. We spoke about her book in her office at Keene State College. Let's start by talking a little bit about work, because there's so much work here in this book. You're working at as a young person in college at a Dairy Queen, as a pancake house waitress, and at the mall, I guess, doing six or seven different jobs at the mall. And now here you are teaching and also a dean here at Keene State College. How does your experience working those kinds of jobs years ago influence the way you think about work now?
Well, when I was writing the book and then when I was rereading it again, one of the common themes was, why did I keep doing this job even though I didn't love it, even though no one was watching me, even though we could have gotten away with so much? There's this sort of work ethic that runs through the book as in, you know, you have this job you have to do and you have to do it. And it resonates a lot now. I'm in administration right now, so it's not a natural fit for me. I see myself as a teacher. I really miss teaching. In fact, I try to find any opportunities I can to sneak in and teach people things if I can. And this job is a lot of paperwork and a lot of dealing with complaints and things like that. But I think it was instilled in me from a really early age. You know, you have this job to do and you do it. So I've had a job since I was, as you can see in the book, I think I started babysitting at 11 or 12. So I don't think there was a time I didn't have a job between then and now.
Where does that work ethic come from? Does it come from the place you grew up in? Does it come from Lowell, Massachusetts, or does it come specifically from your family? Or is that maybe a combination of the two?
I think it's both. I really do. Both of my grandmothers worked hard all their lives, and they both had, one of my grandmothers had a seventh grade education, the other, I think, a fifth grade education. So they really didn't have a choice, but they worked pretty much up until they died. They had jobs. And my parents were always really strict about that. They were like, you know, you're not going to hang out here and not contribute. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be a freeloader. You're going to, you know, work and do what you need to do. And I saw my parents, both of them, work really, really hard to get where they are. My father was basically a homeless teenager, and now he has a PhD. And so to see that trajectory and what education allowed him to be able to do with his life and his just will to do it, it sort of makes not being industrious not an option. I don't have an excuse. He would have, my mom would have, but they didn't use that. And they just decided they wanted to make something of themselves. So I think their example helped. And I saw that example all around me in Lowell. It's a hardworking city. There are a lot of good people there.
I want to ask about David Foster Wallace, since you mentioned him in the publicity that Bowen Publishing sent me for this book. He was a teacher of yours. He died by suicide about a decade ago, famous writer. What do you feel like you learned from him about writing essays?
I learned so much from him. I know that he's a controversial figure right now, and I do know. And I've read what Mary Carr has written, and I understand, and I do see it's these two contradictory things. I see how this could have happened.
Listeners aren't familiar. So he had, to summarize, a really bad record of treating women very well. Attribute it to what you will, whether it's just his personality or mental illness. But there you have it. That's why he's a controversial figure.
He did have... I did see in some of the classes that I had with him how he would sometimes be a little bit meaner to some of the women than he would to the men. And there's all of that. But as a teacher of nonfiction, in fiction, I had him for some fiction classes, he was incredibly attentive to my work, to everybody's work. I mean, he would get on these things with language. So paying attention to every line, every sentence, every turn of phrase, that you could be really casual in your language but still be completely grammatical, that you could write a page-long sentence and have it work beautifully. I learned how to do that, how to craft that from him. And secondly, you know, he always would say good and bad questions. So he would say, you know, he'd be reading something of mine. He'd say, yeah, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking this about the narrator, and this is a bad question for me to ask. He's like, it means you haven't dealt with this. A good question is, wow, this made me think about this and this and this. But he would always really sometimes insert himself into the narrative. There was this one story I wrote about a breakup that he loved, and was actually based on a very real breakup that I had with my now husband. But David said to me, he was like, you know, this narrator, she's a real doormat. And he went on and on. He's like, and about his own situation and things like that. And he would just really get, I'm not saying he would use these as therapy, but it was a way for him to kind of work through some stuff he was dealing with. And so he would sit there, engage and talk with you about what was going on in a way that I just don't think is very typical, especially of writers who have really made it and are still teaching. He was so invested. That's amazing to me. So,
well, Kirsty Sandy, thank you very much for speaking with me about your book. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Kirsty Sandy is the author of the new memoir, She Lived and the Other Girls Died. And you can find a list of the top 5 books on Kirsty Sandy's bookshelf at our website, nhpr.org. We are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you. This week, Kirsty Sandy recommended books by Joanne Beard and James Baldwin, for example. You can send in any recommendation you'd like by email. The address is books@nhpr.org. You can also tweet us at nhprbookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.